This is an audio recording of the summer 2016 9th through 12th grade sisters conference held in Richardson, Texas. The progress of the church in seven stages. Saturday, August 6th, first morning meeting. Message 5, the church in Sardis.
Well, praise the Lord, sisters. Hallelujah for a new day.
Amen.
Well, I'd like to tell you that today is a day of recovery.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I wanted to begin in this way, particularly with this verse, to show us that the source of the epistles to these churches is the Lord's heart of love towards them. Yes, they were in degradation. Yes, they had things that were not so good about them, but the Lord still loved the church.
Amen.
Actually, we see in Revelation that he was girded at the breast.
Amen.
For work, you need to be girded at the loin. But in a sense, his work was over. He had done everything. Now the need is for him to care for the churches. Just caring for the churches.
Amen.
And his way of caring for the churches is his speaking.
Amen.
Oh Lord.
Lord.
All his words, the ones of warning, are really words of love.
Amen.
Right? And his words of love were to do a particular thing. That they would see their condition. See where they really are. But having seen that, they would see him as the solution, right? See him as the solution. And eventually, they would repent. They would turn back to him to overcome the degradation, right? But while his word of love is to these churches, we know the epistles were written to who? Anyone who has an ear. Lord Jesus, grant us an ear this morning. His word, his heart is towards us even today, that we would be those. You know, Brother Zeke shared yesterday, these things are for these churches, and they're, you know, just somewhere historic. But the principles are something that we could get a lot of help from. Right? You consider, are there any aspects of the matter of losing our first love in our being? Oh Lord, what about, you know, just doing things ritualistically? I just do it because that's what I've known. Lord Jesus, what about, you know, what about being married to the world? Right? Are there anything in us that's joined to the world? Right? Even this matter, we think not related to us, it's a matter of idols. We may not have outward idols, but you know, the Bible talks about an idol is one that's in your heart.
Right.
Is there anything in our being that replaces the Lord? You know, they could be persons, they could be things that replace the Lord in our heart. And you know the real thing about it is we may have no feeling about them. Oh, I love the Lord. Yeah, I kind of love the Lord, you know. Oh, the world, I've heard the brothers talk about the world, it's there. We may have no feeling about these things. But the Lord's heart of love, that he would come to us and speak to us to make me realize, Lord Jesus, oh, where am I? But by his speaking, right, doesn't just expose our condition. He shows us who he is.
Amen.
Right? That what? You know, I appreciate this point. It's not a small thing to be under the Lord speaking. Not a small thing who are here today. It's a mercy. A mercy to be under the Lord speaking. Because we may have no feeling about some things, but the Lord speaking comes. Lord, I didn't realize this is where I was. Many times I've been in the conference, I thought my Christian life was just hunky-dory. I am doing so well. Doing all right. But just being under the speaking, the brother may not have nothing to do with what was touched in my being. Just speaking, and the Lord convicts me. And I just have, Lord Jesus. So I would just say, you know, your whole lives, fight to be under the Lord speaking.
Amen.
Right? Anyway, it's not a small thing because it's our salvation. So not just our condition, but the Lord in these epistles is unveiling who he is. Not just generally, but to meet the need. Right? No, not just, I'm the Lord, but very specific. You know, I appreciate this point because, you know, we have all our situations, different things that we struggle with, humanly, just humanly even. But we have to realize that the solution to all our challenges and problems, taking these epistles as an example, is just the Lord himself. Really, all our problems are a lack of the Lord, right? You know, I just realized a lot of times when I'm going through a hard time, I'm trying to figure out how brother can help me or this. Eventually, brother just realized, you need to touch the Lord.
Amen.
And we realize when we touch the Lord, he meets the need, at least inwardly. It may not be an outward correct, you know, change of environment, but inwardly our being is supplied. Because really the Lord is one who meets the specific need in our being. Okay, but more specifically, he shows us who he is. With the view that, yes, he's speaking to us because he loves us, but that we would love him. He unveils who he is, that we would also love him. And by our loving him, we would open to him. We realize, Lord, you know, there's so much of the world in my being. Lord, I open to you as the word, to come in, to deal with all the negative things in my being. Lord Jesus, I open to you as the one to burn and search. Search my being, Lord. Lord, I love you. Right? Now, this is what the Lord really desires, you know, in all his speaking. I just appreciate it. Speaking of him is so good. Like we would see the Lord and open to him. Now, I appreciate it. Even the matter of loving him, those points are so good. You know, I didn't grow up, like a lot of you did, knowing that, realizing what primary need is to love the Lord. So I was just in fresh appreciation. The brother Tom gave that word in the beginning. The ways to love the Lord, right? I appreciate this one point, matter of our conscience. That just touched me a lot. Love out of it's a good conscience, right? You know, sometimes we feel, where's our love for the Lord? Well, how are we dealing with our conscience? It's not a small thing. You know, we're not right before the Lord. Our love is just not there. Anyway, my burden is really this. The Lord loves us. He's not out to get us. But out of his loving us, he speaks to us, unveils himself to us. And he really wants us to love him and open to him. That we would experience him and who he is. This wouldn't just be words on the page that we know. But we would really touch the Lord.
Amen.
Right? Amen. Okay, again, what we need, he is. Okay, so we've seen all these churches so far, beginning from Ephesus. And of course, this point was there. I didn't mention it earlier, but the beginning of degradation was what? What is it? Losing the first love. And it was like, lost the first love. But we saw the tremendously sad slide.
Yeah.
Just losing the first love. What do you say? You know, lose the first love, then of course, you're where Satan dwells. And eventually, the deep things of Satan.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord Jesus. You know, it's fall from being desirable to a condition where just the enemy, just know the deep things, even the deep things of Satan.
Yeah.
It's quite a degradation. I don't know how the Lord felt. Just the church he loved, sliding so much into this kind of just the low point of degradation. Okay, so But praise the Lord. I'm really touched by this point, sisters, is our God is a God of recovery.
Amen.
He does not give up.
Amen.
Doesn't give up on you.
Amen.
Doesn't give up on the church.
Amen.
No matter how much we feel like we've blown it, Lord does not give up on us.
Right.
You think the church, just in a sense, just blew it, in a sense, just what's going on here? But praise the Lord, we'll see today, God had a divine reaction.
Amen.
And I just want to mention this point is, you know, God operates in this age with man's cooperation. So God saw the situation right there, his church, terrible degradation, and he wants to have a reaction. But what he needed was some to cooperate with him.
Right.
And this is the principle all throughout, you know, the way the Lord operates. Is he wants to do something, but he needs some to cooperate with him.
Right.
Lord, make us those who cooperate with you.
Amen.
You know, okay, so we come to Sardis. I was thinking we would read some of this, but we don't have that much time. But let's read some. Okay. I think it's 12, right? So we have page 12, or, yeah, page 12. Let's read together, beginning 1, verse 1. Why don't we have this side read 1, and this side read verse 2, and go on like that. So let's begin.
And to the messenger of
thanks,
the
yeah. Thanks. Amen. No means.
Erase his name out of the book of life. And I will confess his name before my Father
and before his angels altogether. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Amen. So this is the fifth epistle. It's to the church in Sardis. And just to start off, this prefigures the Protestant church. And I'll just read a little bit from the outline. This church, like you know, the brothers mentioned yesterday, this is one of the churches that remains until the Lord comes back,
right?
Right? And it's very clear because it mentions, "I will come
yes.
as a thief." Very clear indication that this church will remain until the Lord comes back. Okay, so what does the word Sardis mean in Greek? Three words in your outline. C. It means remains, remainder, or restoration. So the church had been degraded, but there were a remainder, a minority of the believers who were used by the Lord for a restoration. And the two main things, right, the two main things recovered in this time period of the church, as Brother Zeke mentioned, you know, at that time in Thyatira, it was pretty dark. You consider this is the church, God's people, and his word is locked up.
Yeah.
Common people, you know, just, you know, I don't say they're believers. It's God, people in the church can't read the Bible.
Right.
Number two is, they're not clear concerning salvation.
Yeah.
Right? They're not really clear. It's like the Lord has done so much to prepare salvation for man, but man doesn't know clearly how to receive salvation.
Right.
You're thinking, I got to do something, which is not in the Word. So it's pretty dark. So the two things that were recovered in this time is one, The Bible was open. More available. And this is tied with the technological advancement at that time, the printing press. But also, you know, with the Bible being open, there was a realization that salvation and justification is by faith and not by works. This is just foundational. Huge point. And, you know, some of you may know who this person was, Martin Luther. He was in the Catholic Church, but he was one who saw this matter of the matter of justification by faith. And he was very used by the Lord in this matter. And so the main point here, I just want to just mention it, is that, I'll talk about this a little bit more. So Martin Luther at that time, right, the Bible was locked up and was not very available to man. But at that time as well, there was something invented called the printing press. Now, before this, what happened was to kind of have a copy of the Bible made, people had to write it out. So it was a very tedious process to write out the whole Bible. But the printing press was invented such that you could kind of just make impressions, kind of like a photocopier in a sense, make repeated copies of the same thing. What this helped do was proliferate the distribution of the Bible. Right? So the Bible could be made widely available. I'll listen to a story, right? So the Bible is printed, and Martin Luther, you know, decides to, you know, make this happen, and the first 500 copies are printed. But the Catholic Church is like, no, this should not happen. And so they decide to buy up all those copies. But the Lord, one brother was mentioning, is like, the Lord gave Martin Luther wisdom. So he charged a lot of money to the Catholic Church. And they thought they kind of shut it down. Okay, we've paid him off, it's done. But what does he do? What does he do? He turns right around and makes more copies. And like, uh-oh, we made a mistake. So at that time, from that point on, the word just kept on going out. And I mean, my sense was, Lord, I take for granted. And since that time, as we know, the Bible is probably the number one seller. Translated into so many languages, more than any other book. And anyway, I appreciate this is the divine reaction. The enemy thought, okay, done, lock up the Bible. But the Lord, through one who cooperated with him, had a way for the Bible to be open. Now, the Bible is so accessible. And I realized we got into the Truth School, this past Truth School in the Metroplex, how precious the Bible is. And I realized, Lord, even my sense going through that, just getting the fellowship is, Lord, I want to treasure the Bible. Amen. Not take for granted, you know, the Word. Because, you know, that period of time was very dark. Very dark. You know, just you just listen or hear or read some of the things that happened then. Just the depravity of mankind at that time was just serious. And actually, once the Bible was opened, there was an effect on humanity. Actually, shortly after was what we call the Renaissance. The humanity made tremendous advancements, you know, after that period. And much to do with, I think, you know, really the Word being open, there being light. But also, you know, so to me, and you kind of read the stories of Luther, I was sharing with the brothers last night, it is so inspiring. It is really something. Just the conviction, the oneness with the Lord, you know, his love for the Word. He has this term, sola scriptura, it's like just the Word alone. You know, just I'm not going to listen to just some man's talking. My heart is going to be bound to the Word. It's really inspiring. But as we'll see, while they had a good beginning, they didn't quite make it all the way. And that's why the Lord's word here is what? I found none of your works complete. But before we go there, you know, we see who the Lord is here. You know, while they had a good beginning, eventually what happened is just there was some deadness came in. Because there was formality brought in. There was something outside of the Bible in terms of the way the church is arranged, brought in, and the result is just deadness. And that's why the Lord, in opening this epistle, says, "These things says he who has the seven spirits of God, seven spirits of God, and the seven stars. Okay, so we may not be clear. Maybe we are, but it's not so easy to be clear. What is this seven spirits of God? Well, this seven spirits of God is just a sevenfold intensified spirit. It's not a different spirit, right? It's just the same life-giving spirit. But the Lord realized there needs to be some intensification of his operation, especially in the matter of enlivening. You know, it is the Spirit who gives life. The Spirit is what? The life-giving Spirit. But because of the deadness, he realized he needs to be the sevenfold intensified Spirit. You know, I don't know about you, we have to realize the Spirit in our spirit today is the sevenfold intensified Spirit.
Amen.
Right? You realize, Lord, I don't feel good. I'm feeling, oh, yuck. You realize, don't stand with your feeling. Because in your spirit is the sevenfold intensified Spirit.
Amen.
Doing what? Giving life.
Amen.
You know, so many times we stand with our deadness. You know, a lot of times I started to realize, I sit in the meeting, I'm just there, not feeling great. I realize I don't have to be here. I know, yes, I should have kind of touched the Lord before I came here, but it's okay. I have the Spirit in my spirit.
Amen.
What is he waiting to do? Just to give life.
Yeah.
Right? Even as I'm so thankful, it's so easy. Remember that song we sang, we enjoyed yesterday. So easy to be filled with him.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
You're in school. I appreciate the sister shared. Is this death, darkness around? Well, praise the Lord. We have the Spirit in our spirit.
Amen.
But we have to realize it's not just the Spirit. The Lord in this age is the sevenfold intensified Spirit. The goal is to make us intensely living.
Amen.
Oh, Lord.
Amen.
The Lord is life.
Amen.
You know, you're around death, but I realize, saints, we need to be those who just learn to touch the one who is life in our spirit.
Amen.
And it's so easy. Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Okay, sometimes I know we try it. It's not so easy by ourselves. That's why we need one another. No, so many times I was in college, and I need to do even more now. Driving to work or driving somewhere in the morning. Yeah, I can't really read something, but just call, a brother would just call me. Let's just call on the name of the Lord. Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, Lord, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
What happens right there is the Lord's life is infused into us, saving us from all kinds of deadness. Anyway, I appreciate. But the other thing about being living and not being dead is, it's much related to our opening our mouth.
Amen.
Our mouth, not a small thing.
Amen.
You know, even in the meetings, yes, we can touch the Lord, be enlivened, but what does the Lord want? Whether maybe sometimes the Lord is saying, just speak something.
Yeah.
And speaking could just be saying,
amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Well, what happens is that the life flows from our spirit, right? You know, I'll let you know up front, I was, in a sense, born in Sardis. So I know what I know the matter of deadness very well. You get there, you sit down, and you don't do anything. Even, I remember being in the church life, and, you know, I was touching something, and they were reading a verse. I was like, oh, I enjoyed that. I was like, I want to share something, but there was no allowance for me to, in a sense, release my spirit. Even in life study, it talks about, you know, we get saved, we enjoy the Lord, and being in a denomination, what just puts you in a refrigerator to cool you down. Honestly, that was my experience. And to try to counteract that, what happens is, you get there, you see all this very liveliness outwardly, mingling the emotion, actually bringing all kinds of music, bands. Actually, the point I was in, I'll never forget this, I was in a youth group meeting, and I was like, my ears are hurting because it was so loud because they're trying to just stir up some emotion with kind of, it wasn't rock or alternative music because there was no life. So they want a counterfeit of just stirring up the emotion so you can think, oh, I'm enjoying something. But what I'm enjoying, well, reality was not life. Anyway, but praise the Lord. We know the way of life. Amen. And the life is the Christ as the Spirit in our spirit.
Amen.
And remember, saints, this life is not just in us. This life is in the saints. This life is in the church. Many times I've struggled with just particular things. And, you know, it's tough. When you're in a situation, and it's just a human situation that's tough and it's in the sense of suffering, it's not so easy sometimes to get to the Lord. It's not really. Just humanly, we try to muster it up. So I never forget lots of times, not a few times, probably should be more, but just call a brother, fellowshiping with a brother, and he realizes what I need at that time is just life. Obi, you know, he starts speaking life into me.
Amen.
We are here for the Lord. We are here for the Lord's economy. We need to touch the Lord.
Amen.
And right there, I am just enlivened.
Amen.
Anyway, I appreciate this point, saints. You know, this matter of let's be saved, because it's saved from deadness
Amen.
To touch the Lord
Amen.
As the sevenfold intensified spirit.
Amen.
In our spirit, and also in the church, and in the saints. That's why it's so crucial to have ones we're related to who can help us.
Amen.
Save us from our death situation.
Amen.
It's so good.
Amen.
Someone will realize, brother, how are you doing? You just realize, oh, my condition is not, you know, well, can we pray? And at that time, you may feel like, I don't want to pray. But once we just open our mouth, Lord Jesus,
Amen.
The Lord as the sevenfold intensified
Amen.
Spirit begins to operate, to enliven,
Amen.
To infuse.
Amen.
To save us from all kinds of deadness.
Amen.
Now, I know I sympathize with you. You know, your school, like the sister mentioned, oh, so much death, so much darkness. But praise the Lord, we have one another.
Amen.
Anyway,
hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Of course, and he also has the seven stars that we will be intensely shining. Okay, and it goes on and says, I know your works, that you have a name that you are living, and yet you are dead. I've spoken about this a little bit, but if you look through history, a lot of people thought the Reformation was very living.
Right.
That's what they said, oh, very living. But listen to the Lord's word here.
Yeah.
You have a name that you are living. Do we stand with historical assessment, or do we stand with the Lord's word?
Right.
The Lord's word here is, you have a name that you are living. But what? You are dead. Right? Okay. So one other experience about realizing death is, you know, I mentioned I was meeting in a particular denomination, you know, when I met the saints on campus at UTA. And, you know, I had no feeling about where I was. I was just kind of meeting, in the group. It's okay, you know, rock music, not too bad. Then I met the saints on campus, and I mean, I had lots of experience of touching the Lord in meetings and so forth, but particularly what was a big help to me was one of the brothers serving, every morning, he would call me. I think someone mentioned the same thing. He would call me in the morning. Got to a point where I set his phone call ringer as a cock crowing because it was so consistent. He would, I mean, I know that's that brother calling me again. And I welcomed it. It wasn't because, brother, please call me. You know, I lived in an apartment on campus. So in the morning, he would call. I'll wake up. And I'll drive to the brother's house with some other. I'll pick up another brother, and we'll drive to the brother's house. What we do there is just to enjoy the Lord
Amen.
In the morning revival, and we'll be sometimes we're just so filled with the Lord, we just kind of just linger there, just singing, enjoying the Lord,
wow.
just really just touching the Lord with the brothers. I just treasure those times so much. I encourage you, if you haven't had a time of corporate morning revival, just try it with some saints. It's so enlivening. So sweet and so refreshing
Amen.
To be with the saints, to touch the Lord,
Amen.
To pursue the Lord with those.
Amen.
Okay, so we were touching the Lord every morning during the week, but on Lord's Day, there'll be a special time. We will gather together. The brothers will prepare breakfast, and we would just eat together. I don't know what order it was. Eat breakfast and touch the Lord and sing and enjoy the Lord. I wasn't so clear at that time about the church, so I would enjoy the Lord. The brothers were so graceful. I mean, they didn't kind of pressure me, oh, where are you going? You enjoy the Lord? Come with us. They did not say that. So I would encourage you, just be merciful. Just minister life to your friends.
Amen.
Don't condemn. Don't, what they need is life. They don't know anything else. It's not like they don't know better.
Right.
They just need life.
Amen.
So the brothers would minister life to me. We enjoy the Lord together, and I would just go to my, you know, the group where I'm at. The brothers would go to the meeting. And I remember one time, this was happening for a period of time, and I was really touching the Lord, enjoying the Lord, like, you know, immensely. I remember, I don't know if it was the last time I met in that denomination, but I remember one Lord's Day, I never forget where I was sitting, was the particular left-hand corner, the first section of pews, and I was there. Just sitting down, had, you know, Bible in my hand, and I had been enjoying the Lord with the brothers. And I got there, and I started realizing that feeling of life I had was just not there anymore. There was just death, in a sense, or just an easiness in my being. I realized, this is it. I can't do this anymore. And at that point in time, I made a decision. I want to choose life.
Amen.
And I want to be with the brothers.
Amen.
But I realized there's no way I could have had that feeling or realization of the deadness if I hadn't touched life.
Amen.
Right? We need to be those who are touching life,
Amen.
Who are ministering life,
Amen.
That we and others could be saved from deadness.
Amen.
Even being with those who are in life.
Amen.
That's the way to be rescued from deadness.
Right.
You know, it's like, okay, how can you, someone's dead, how are you going to, you know, oh, get out of deadness? They're dead. Right? No strength, no ability.
Yeah.
But anyway, I appreciate this. And that was kind of a turning point in my Christian life. You know, realizing I want to be in life.
Amen.
Because I have tasted life. That's the point.
Amen.
Taste life. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. All right. So become watchful and establish the things which remain, which were about to die. So this is the point about how even in the, you know, denomination, the things that were recovered, they're just not remaining. You're just about to die. You know, you go in there, it's like lots of things recovered, but it's still not very clear. Even for me, I was telling the brothers, you know, this point of justification of my faith, it was key in the Reformation. You know, I wasn't even clear about things like insurance of my salvation growing up.
Yeah.
I wasn't even clear that once you're saved, you're always saved.
Yeah.
Those things were not so clear, you know. So anyway, that's that. Okay, now, I have some burden on this next point. Oh Lord, amen. For I found none of, listen to this. This is very striking. I have found none of your works completed before my God. You read about Martin Luther and how the Lord began his work. But what does he say here? I'll recommend you should read some of those biographies of people in that time. It's really touching. I mean, this was the Lord's move, his present move at that time. If you were living that age, you wanted to be in that Lord's move at that time, but listen to the word, I have found none of your works completed. Oh Lord.
Amen.
You know, so this actually points to the fact that there's a need of something more. There's a need of a completion, and actually points us to the next church, Philadelphia. That's the church in recovery. Because the works here, it's very good. Things were very good here, but it was not completed. Pointing, there's a need of something more.
Amen.
There's a need for us to go on.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for the open Bible.
Yes.
Hallelujah, I'm justified by faith.
Amen.
But we need to go on.
Amen.
Right? Lord, I want to go on with you.
Amen.
And actually, they saw a lot of the truth. This point was so touching to me. There's this point called, I mean, you may not know this term, but it's actually in the ministry, universal priesthood of the believers. This is a point we all know. We are all priests to God. It's very clear. There's not a special class of priests. Martin Luther saw this point. But the point is, they did not enter into the reality of this matter of universal priesthood. They saw the matter of the scripture is what needs to be what's just held. But you consider the way they carried out the church. Where is it in the Bible that the human government is the head of the church? It is nowhere in the Bible. They did not enter into that reality of just the Bible with regards to the matter of the church. So you have to be very, to me this was a big warning. We have the truth. It's plentiful.
You
know, it's spoken. It's so accessible. And we thank the Lord. But what the Lord wants is that we would be those who enter into the experience of the things we have seen and heard.
Amen.
We know the point about the Lord is dispensing himself into us. Hallelujah for this fact. We cannot get tired of repeating it. The Lord is trying to make his home in our heart.
Amen.
Lord is trying to be formed in us.
Amen.
What about our experience though? Oh Lord. In junior high, I get into high school. Lord, make your home in my heart.
Amen.
I don't do well in the test. Oh Lord. I don't get into that school. Oh Lord, what school should I get into? Lord, I just choose you. Lord, make your home in my heart.
Amen.
Learning to experience the Lord in all the things we've seen. Even the matter of, simple. The Lord died for us. The blood is available. But how much are we entering in day by day into the experience of really enjoying the cleansing, precious blood of Christ?
Amen.
We blew it in this or that. We may just remain, I don't want to come near the saints. I don't want to go to the meeting. Well, we need to realize it's real.
Yeah.
The blood is real.
Amen.
It's really effective.
Amen.
Lord, cause us to enter the reality of all the things we hear.
Amen.
Not just facts that, I'm so happy I've heard this. Praise the Lord. It's a conference. I spoke it. But Lord,
Amen.
Lord, bring me into
Amen.
These things that we've heard.
Amen.
You go into Philadelphia, so much recovered. And of course, we need to get into them, know these things. But even more so, we don't want to be those who the Lord says, I found none of your works completed. You know, I was cross-referencing. The cross-reference in on this point about none of your works completed, it references two verses. Who's the one we have in us? The Lord Jesus. What did he say to the Father? I have finished your work, the work you've given me. What about Paul as our pattern? I have finished my course. Praise the Lord. As young ones, we have a wonderful start. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
We're here. We're in a conference. We're going on with the Lord. But Lord, cause us to be those who do not stop.
Amen.
Lord, in our college years, we'll be those who go on with you.
Amen.
Right? We wouldn't kind of shrink back. Anyway, I was so, but even humanly too, I was so convicted about 4 or 8 years ago, I can't remember when it was, so touched. Humanly, I just like this or that. I like this thing, I like this thing. Just fallen natural man, just nothing, just starts things, but don't follow through. Don't complete it. We have to see this is not who the Lord is, who we have in us.
Amen.
You know, anyway, I just appreciate that point so much. Okay.
All
right, running out of time, but I think just a couple more points of burden. And, okay, so none of your work's completed. Yeah, amen. Anyway, leave that there. Okay, the next is, remember, therefore, how you received and heard, and keep it and repent. amen. This matter of repenting is not a small thing. You know, the Lord's heart to all these churches is not to go get them, not to go say, okay, shame on you, you know, kick them to the curb, I'm done. His heart is that they would repent. You know, even the way the Lord began his ministry is what? Repent! Turn! Even actually, I was so convicted, I was so touched. Even Martin Luther, the 95 Theses, the way he begins it is the matter of repentance. It's as if he's one with the Lord, standing to the Catholic Church, representing the Lord, repent! Right? Maybe these words, anytime we're down, we're in a situation where it's not so positive, the Lord is just causing, I'm waiting. Repent. Turn. Turn right now. Don't waste time. Right? Lord, cause us to turn.
Amen.
Right? Anyway, this point is not small. Repent. Okay. Then the other point here is, if therefore you will not watch, I will come as a thief. And you shall by no means know what hour I will come upon you. Oh, Lord Jesus, this is not a small point. The Lord's coming as a thief.
Amen.
Now, this is one of the verses that show that the church remains, the Lord comes, right? What does the thief come to take? Precious things. The Lord, in his coming back, is coming to take the precious things. Well, the way to be precious in the Lord's eyes is to be those who come to him, who experience him, that what? Our inner being could be transformed to match him. Because you realize that the world is full of rebellion. Just consider the Lord. Just he looks at the world. It's full of rebellion against the world. What he's looking for are some who just, Lord, I'm on this earth just for you. Lord, I love you. Lord, I'm here for you. Lord, I open to you. I don't care for this or that. Lord, I need you. Just imagine how precious that is to the Lord. Friends may do this. Classmates may do that. Coworkers may be pursuing a wonderful career. But Lord, I don't care for that. Lord, I just love you. Lord, I open my being to you. Lord, do whatever you want in my being. That way he infuses himself into us and we become people or men of preciousness.
Amen.
Just like Daniel. And eventually when the Lord comes back, right, he comes for these kinds of ones.
Amen.
That's what he comes for. Okay. Running out of time, but I think the only last point I wanted to touch was this matter of in going to five. Okay, I'll just touch this point because it's important. But you have a few names in Sardis who have not defiled their garments. They will walk with me in white because they are worthy. Okay, I'll move on. Okay, he who overcomes will be clothed thus in white garments, and I shall by no means erase his name out of the book of life. Okay, so, you know, from my background, this can, you know, just... My background, this is a little bit of a troubling verse because, you know, it's a lot taught in that you can lose your salvation.
Right.
So they see that verse like, oh, okay, I got it. That's the verse. That shows it. But actually, the ministry warns us, a very good warning, never try to understand a verse in isolation.
Yeah.
Particularly this verse.
Yeah.
It's a safeguard to us to consider the entire revelation in the Bible concerning this. I mean, I may not do a great job on this, but to me, if you get into the footnotes on this verse, it is tremendous. It's footnote 5:3. It's marvelous, showing what is this talking about? Well, it begins by showing us what is the book of life. Well, what it is, it's a divine record of all those who participate in the divine blessings. Right? But however, this participation is in three stages. The first stage is in the age of the church, today.
Amen.
So all of God's chosen ones who are saved, our names are in the book of life.
Amen.
So that we can participate in the divine blessings. What are these blessings? Justification, redemption, eternal life, the divine nature.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
By being in the book of life, we can participate in all these divine blessings in this age.
Amen.
This is with a view that we would cooperate with the Lord's grace. We would grow in life. We would be one with the Lord. And that therefore there will be an incentive for us in the next age. Right? To participate in the further blessings in that age.
Yeah.
But the fact of, or the reality of the matter is, a lot of the believers will not cooperate, will not enjoy these blessings. Blessings are there. Eternal life. Divine nature. But are we cooperating? Well, in the next age, the Lord as a discipline to the believer, we covered this in the last conference, in the kingdom age, there's a discipline. You will not get to participate in the blessings in that age. But, therefore, your name has to be erased for a period of time, 1,000 years. But if we're those who are enjoying, enjoying, Lord, make us those who are the top enjoyers.
Amen.
I may not care what you do this or do that, but Lord, I want to enjoy you.
Amen.
All you've provided for us in this age.
Amen.
That what? We may enjoy the Lord in the next age.
Amen.
So those who are going to participate in the next age are those who will be recorded in the heavenly record in the millennial kingdom.
Amen.
But now be very clear. If your name is written in the book of life at any point, you will always participate in the blessings in eternity. Always.
Amen.
The point here is, when the Lord comes,
right,
it's not just, you know, church age, boom, eternity.
No.
The Bible is very clear.
Right.
As an incentive,
yeah,
the Lord wants us to be those,
amen,
who are diligent and faithful,
amen,
to enjoy the Lord in this age.
Amen.
And as a reward, I was so touched by this.
Amen.
What's the reward in the millennial kingdom? Anyway, I mean, there's probably more there, but I was so touched, you know, to the ones who are faithful, you know, the talents. It says, enter into the joy.
Amen.
Into the joy of your master.
Amen.
Lord, I want this to be my story.
Amen.
Enter into the joy,
amen,
of your master.
Amen.
But also in Hebrews, it says, enter into the rest. Right? But also the other part of it is we will rule with him.
Amen.
And a brother was sharing with me too is, if you're not faithful though, like the virgins, the Lord will say, for that period of time, I don't know you. I don't know you. Lord, save us.
Amen.
We would not be in this category.
Amen.
We'll be those who enter into the joy. Amen. Oh, amen. But eventually we realize, and please, I want to drive this point home, and you read that point.
Yeah.
You know, in John 10, the ones who are ever recorded in the book of life shall by no means perish forever.
Amen.
For eternity, unconditionally, our salvation is guaranteed eternally.
Amen.
But there may be a time of discipline. Anyway, I hope that's clear. And if you're not clear, please get into the footnotes. This matter is too precious. Anyway, I think, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Lord Jesus.
Amen.
I think I'm done.
Lord, amen.
Hallelujah. Amen.